Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to our show. And welcome our co-host here, Johnny Hernandez. So, Johnny, today's a big day for you. Happy birthday, the big 5-0, brother. You know I wasn't going to let you get away with this by not saying something. I mean, when I turned 50, everyone's like, you're a half a century old. I was like, you don't have to go there.
I don't remember that conversation ever. But
yeah. Yeah, you have that selective reading and selective memory thing going on. But happy birthday. Yeah. How does it feel? Let's talk about that for a little bit, because 50 is a big number. And if I remember back when I turned 52 years ago, I mean, I had a pretty emotional transition there at 50, at primarily, Johnny, because I was so happy to be alive that 50. And there's a long story. There's a long story that goes behind that, and you can go read my book, Stepping Into Greatness. Success is up to you. But the males in my family lived past 25. So 50 was a big deal for me. Tell me, what's going on for you today?
You know, it's crazy because my oldest daughter, actually, she called me. I went to Mass this morning. She called me as I was leaving, and she says, Dad, she says, happy birthday. She says, well, how does it feel to be 50? And I said, it feels like it did when I was 25, honey. And it's so crazy because, I mean, it's true. I feel awesome. And it's interesting because there's so many people I've had conversation with, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you're hitting 50. How do you feel about it? You know, so forth. And I guess I am very blessed, or I'm delusional. Because for me,
delusional is right.
Right? I'm still, you know, I try to take good care of myself. Could I do better? Of course I could. You know, I'm incredibly blessed, you know, whether it be from a business, from a personal standpoint. I've got an amazing spouse, beautiful children, great friends like you. I mean, I feel like the luckiest guy on the planet. Mm. And so for me, 50, as you know, we were laughing because I, you know, was out 2 weekends ago with my new son-in-law. After just about a month here, it's coming on. You know, my youngest daughter got married, my first child to wed, and we were out. We had the dirt bikes, and we were out right, you know. So I guess it does. It truly goes back to it's about so much of it's about, you know, mindset. And so from a, you know, chronological perspective, dude, I'm still 25 years. You know me well enough. I love life. I have fun, and you know, I'm not quite. I think I sent it to you this morning, or someone else. Like, you know what? I'm not halfway through my life yet. So
yeah.
At least by my terms now, of course, God may have a different plan, but at least, again, in my delusional mind, I'm not even halfway there, so I'm doing fantastic, man, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, there's more coming. That's great. I'm glad that you're having a good birthday. You happen to be here on the right coast here in Southern California, and you'll get a chance to enjoy your birthday today. So, again, happy birthday, and, well, you know, I wish you another 50.
Thanks, brother. And we've had a great week. You know, you and I have got to spend some quality time together. And,
yep.
You know, it's fascinating when you hang out, and anyone that's, you know, with us right now or listen to this later can appreciate the fact that when you're with like-minded, now I want to be very clear when I say this, like-minded people with a lot of positive energy, just one, how fast the time goes, but two, how productive the time is when
yes.
you're together. So
yes.
for you and I, you know, a day and a half, couple days ago, it's just been just marvelous. You know, you walk away.
Well, it just switched the whole energy in my business. I mean, it was good for me because it's like, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this deal, you know.
Right. That's right.
It's good stuff. Well, you know, it's interesting because the whole idea of transition, transmutation, transformation, that whole idea that spirituality brings a sense of a journey that peels back the onion, the peel, layers and layers of the onion to get deeper and deeper into that understanding of enlightenment and connection to God, creator, divine, whatever it is you choose to call it. And recently there was an interesting turn of events. You and I have spent a lot of time over the last few months talking about the Pope, Pope Francis, and his visit last week. I think was short of miraculous, regardless of what people are saying about him. You know, you got to wonder if the Pope's sitting up there going, goodness gracious, can the U.S. just leave good things alone? You know, can, do they have to dig into everything and make up stuff? But something that happened on national TV that I think people, they didn't dive into it enough, and I want to dive into it because I think there's something really powerful that happened, and that is Speaker Boehner. Speaker Boehner, you know, as most people know, has resigned from Congress and resigned as a speaker and retiring at the end of this month, abruptly, because, you know, I think of a spiritual experience that he had with Pope Francis. And so I want to kind of give you guys a little bit of the picture and then jump into some dialogue here. You know, if you saw any of the footage that was put out there by the media, Speaker Boehner was behind the Pope crying like a little kid, uncontrollably. He was crying uncontrollably. And for a guy who pretty much, and pardon my expression, has set himself as probably the biggest ass in the country, you just wonder, what's he crying about? What is he crying about? I mean, here's a guy who has absolutely shut down government, been the hardest guy to deal with, I mean, drove Obama crazy. And he's crying behind the Pope. And so I dug a little bit deeper to try to find if I could find out what was going on. And what he said was in his press conference, which, by the way, even in his press conference, he couldn't stop from crying. And he said was, there was a moment when the Pope and I were alone in a room before we went out to speak. And he said to me that he was thanking me for my work on children and education or something like, which I'm not sure what he's talking about. But
that's what it was.
Right, children and education. And he put his arm, he grabbed my hand as he was speaking to me, and then he got closer and put his arms around me and looks me in the eyes and says, "Will you pray for me?" And that's where he broke down. He says, "Oh my gosh, who am I? Who am I to pray for the Pope?" He says, "But I did." And I think, and this is what I want to talk about today, Johnny, is I think he had a spiritual experience. I think he was touched personally by the hand of the Creator. And that you know, and I made a comment that, you know, on my Facebook page, and maybe the young ones don't watch this show, but every year I watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I don't know why. It's something I watch as a kid, and they got a winter war, and they got a winter warlock in there who's supposed to be scary and, you know, all that stuff, and he's got a heart of ice. But Santa Claus, as he's becoming Santa Claus, if you believe in him, decides to give this winter warlock, in a moment of stress, because he thought he was going to eat him, a choo-choo train. And the warlock looks at it and he says, "A choo-choo train for me?" And then you could see in the cartoon that his heart melts because no one had ever cared for him so much. And I think that's what happened to Boehner. I think that if there was a message there, I think that the media missed it completely. What do you think, Johnny?
I agree. I think there's three things in this conversation. One is, who doesn't believe in Santa Claus, for Pete's sake, right? And secondly, shame on you if you don't. Secondly, I do think the media missed it. Actually, not only do I think they missed it.
They avoided it.
they avoided it and went specifically to the exchanges that took place. Now, first of all, I should qualify this. I'm not a political activist. I follow it to try to be a good American, but I don't know enough and to provide an accurate, not even point of view, but this is what I would share, is when you read about some of the exchanges that took place prior to his resignation, and some people thought he should resign, some people they shouldn't, the dialogue came up that maybe he should, but then finally it came to rest that they weren't going to oust him. And so all these things rear their ugly heads now, right, which I hadn't heard before. Not saying the conversations hadn't happened before. That's not what I'm implying. What I think is interesting, though, is no one for one moment ever stopped to try to make any connection whatsoever. So, yes, there was that moment when the entourage was getting in the car and the Pope grabbed his arm. He said he pulled him in really close with some nice words to him, asked him to pray for him. He says, I lost control. And he said, and then even when I tried to talk about it again, he said, I can't even have the conversation without losing control and crying as well. Well, he went to school. He was he grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school growing up. And, you know, prior to that, when they were in one of these offices or one of these rooms in the White House, when the Pope was, in fact, talking to him about his work in education with children, when they had finished the quote-unquote business and it broke up, the Boehner's family came in, and the Pope blessed his six-week-old grandchild.
Mm.
And so that's actually where it began. And so I even went back in today. I was sitting there in the hotel getting caught up on some work. And I went in and I did some more digging. And I put in all sorts of searches and everything else, Pope and Speaker Boehner and all this. And it's fascinating that because I missed it, but it appears to me that every media channel either intentionally or missed out on the opportunity to try to make some connection. And this is what I think is so fascinating. I was having breakfast a couple weeks ago with the CEO of a major U.S. organization, a very spiritual man, a world-class human being. And as we were having a dialogue, he was talking about his mother. I don't know if I shared any of this last week, but he was talking about his mother and how just such a devout Christian she was. And his mother was making the statement that, if you talk about, you know, with coincidence or providence, that they don't exist. People and occurrences happen at a very specific time in place in our life for very specific reasons. And so if you subscribe to that thinking, which I do, that would tell you that there was something very sentimental. And when you think about the dialogue around Planned Parenthood, you know, out here in L.A., you know, one of the Planned Parenthood locations was an arson lit on fire last night, right? So you think about that conversation. That was one of the dialogues they were in the middle of, and talking about does Boehner support it or doesn't he support it. So all of this, you want to talk about the perfect storm, literally transpired at the same time. Now, what I would say is I said there was three things, and at some point today, and I would love to hear some callers come in and provide a perspective, but there's another thing that I think we need to talk about. You mentioned the first at the very beginning, is the hypocrisy of us as human beings. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to sit here, be the first one to say, although I certainly try to live a very humble, kind, and giving life, I'm as big a hypocrite as anyone else. But the statements that have been made after our Pope has left the United States, to me, have been absolutely ridiculous. And in an environment where we talk about, we don't even get in this now, we can go back, but I just want to plant this seed. In an environment where I don't care who you are, any values-based religion or spiritual belief believes in non-judgment. And the statements that have come out from, I don't care what religious groups it is, whether it's my own, you know, my own religion or any other religion or any other statement, the statements that have made about how the Pope spent his time, who he spent it with, and what he did, I think has just been crazy, especially in conversations that happen behind closed doors. You know, you may hear one side of the story. It goes back to the old dialogue, nothing ruins a good argument like facts. And no matter what the conversation is, who it's with, in what room, when you only get one side of it, you don't hear the other. So I, as we go through this, I want to take this back to something we talked about last week. So leaders and employees, it's critical that we take this conversation today and not make it about religion, right? It could be
which is not
the Pope. The Pope happens to be the leader of the largest business organization in the world, right? So first of all, there's every good reason for us to be talking about him. And so it's not about Catholicism. It's not about religion.
Nope.
It's about leadership and the value of the human being. And that's why I think when we get into this conversation about judging, I want us as individuals, leaders, and human beings to put ourselves in both positions. So being the one that's being judged and being the one that, albeit maybe innocently, that when we think we're providing an opinion about something, where's that fine line between providing, first of all, qualifying to say, in my opinion, and then presenting a very, what I would say is non-judgmental, belief and emotional perspective on something, which is much different than judging someone and saying, I believe Daniel Gutierrez is a bad human being, regardless of what I do or don't know about him, and that's judging a human being. So it's very important, I think, that we keep this dialogue. We talk about, you know, our Viker and Pope, you know, in that leadership perspective. So it was interesting because when we were on the call last week, I didn't even know this happened because I hadn't had the TV on. I hadn't been reading any social media, and you mentioned it. And so I went and did some more research. So I was, quite frankly, fascinated when you told me how he broke down in tears and then eventually how he resigned.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm really appreciate your perspective because this is a show about business and spirituality, and the Pope has both. You know, and I'm glad you kind of pointed that out because and this show is, you know, what does Speaker Boehner breaking down and crying have to do with leadership? Well, everything. It has everything to do with leadership, and it has to do with leadership because I think there comes a time when even we as human beings know we're doing the wrong thing by the way we're doing things. That for whatever reason our ego takes over and we begin to push agendas that are agendas of who knows who without even any regard to how what it's doing to people's lives. And I think this man who absolutely, you know, probably had a very religious upbringing, just got back in touch with that spirituality. He got in touch with that connection of love and compassion and understanding that he felt from Pope Francis. And what does that have to do? Well, Boehner happens to be one of the top leaders in this country. You know, and I think what the media missed was the tenderness in that moment. Instead of talking about him, like they talk about the Pope now, as you said, instead of talking about him, nobody sat down and said, tell us what really happened. What was what a teaching moment for our world.
Yeah.
You know, what a teaching moment that even the hardest of the hardest heart can have a transmutation and a transformation and look at life in a different way. And this was public. So shame on the media for missing that and getting so concerned about things that, you know, maybe mattered or didn't matter, that nobody took the time to do that. And that's why I kind of, you know, Johnny, when we were talking about it, I thought it was a good idea that we bring it to the forefront and that we think about, you know, when we think about mindfulness, you know, and we think about meditation and yoga, what is it for? It's you know, on a business context, yes, if it's done, it increases bottom line profits because your employees, your associates, your whatever it is that you call them, are more productive during the workday. But deeper than that, it creates a unity, a community, a oneness in our world that is much needed. And this example of the Winter Warlocks heart melting was just, to me, it was like watching that show, Johnny. It was watching him cry. It made me cry because I saw a side of this guy that, you know, I'm not judging him for his politics or what he does. That's irrelevant to me. From a human compassion standpoint, I felt for him because here's a guy, you know, it's, you know, you can imagine being the toughest guy in high school and all of a sudden you're crying and you kind of lose that edge. You lose the edge of people thinking, uh-oh, he's weak now. But that didn't show weakness. I think that showed strength
to
be able to do that.
I think that I think every statement you made there is spot on. I think there's a couple of other things. I think that, one, when a man, a grown man cries, especially a man that's perceived as incredibly powerful, depending on how you define it, shows emotion
like
that. It shows vulnerability and it shows humility. It shows that they're human. And I think quite often we place people in these positions thinking that they're above all, that they're much stronger, that they're better people, that they're bigger than us. They're human beings just like us. You know, I kid around, I talk about all the time. It's like, you know, if you look at, you know, how we idolize, you know, pro football players, baseball players, basketball, or whatever, and ultimately what they are is they're kids that are incredibly talented from an athletic standpoint. You know, they happen to have different talents than we do. It goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday about what you do versus organizational development and designing curriculums and that.
Yep. Yep.
You know, but all that being said, that was the other part of this for me and Boehner is this. It's interesting because our perspective, or I think maybe the general public's perspective, outside looking in, may be that Boehner was hard-nosed, he was difficult to deal with, all of this. Now, because I've never been in a room alone with him or been in any room where I was part of his audience or vice versa, I don't necessarily know that to be true. Now, what I did read today was someone, I don't know who it was, they gave the name, but one of the representatives made a comment about him when this was all said and done. They said, regardless of the outcome, they were talking about his retirement, they said, Speaker Boehner is a good, honest, and caring man. And I thought that said a lot about him because, again, it goes back to show you, and I'm not saying media is bad. I think media can do as much good as it can do as much damage. But I think it goes back to the perceptions that we create are based on literally, you know, it's either others' opinions or the way others tell, twist, or whatever the story. And for him to show up like that, I thought was really cool. And so as I think from a leadership or an employee standpoint, I would challenge myself on a couple thoughts. One, when do I find myself making statements that, and I use kind of the general rule of thumb, is if the individual I'm talking, let me restate that. The general rule I try to use when my head is screwed on right is, would I say this if that person were standing next to me? Is it constructive? Is it caring? Right? And even if it's not fact-based in its opinion, is it still stated in a state of respect for the individual? So as an employer leader, I have to ask myself that because I'm either adding value or I'm taking it away. From that person, from the people around me, from the energy, all of that, I'm adding or detracting. And me as a leader, when I'm engaged in space, and I may be, whether I'm in the middle of the pack, top of the pack, or bottom of the pack, is how do I contribute to that? How do I make others around me, if I'm a solid leader, how do I make them better? And then how do I allow myself to be vulnerable and humble enough to learn from other people, other individuals, and literally stop and stay in that moment when they present themselves, because especially as leadership, we go a million miles an hour. That's just the way we're designed, right? But to stop down is just long enough to really take it in and find those just those little small tidbits of growth and development in there. And I just thought the whole point, we could do 100 other shows, because the Pope himself, if you listen to the speeches and so forth that he gave, again, he speaks very much in, whether it's, you want to say, analogies, parables, or whatever. I just thought he did a really nice job of showing up and being just, talk about a really humble and quiet and peaceful man, just his presence, you know. I mean, just that in itself speaks a lot to, you know, one of the strongest capability or skills or assets of a strong leader.
I agree. So, folks, we've been, obviously, you can tell when Johnny and I are passionate about something, because we just go off. Dial in if you want to join in this conversation, 347-677-1965. We'd also want to hear from you about possible topics that you'd like to hear about. You know, we're taking a look at, we're in, you know, the last quarter of 2015. And I'm bringing that up because today's October 1st. As we begin to kind of turn the corner and we get into the fall months and the winter months, it is right now that's important that you take a look at what's happening for you in 2016. If you wait till 2016 to make that happen, you're behind the eight ball. It's too late. It takes you another 30 days to 90 days to really kind of get that going again. But we're looking at our schedule for the last quarter, and we're trying to, you know, looking at topics, and we really would love to hear from you. So please dial in at 347-677-1965 or go to our page here on Blog Talk Radio and send us a note so that we can, you know, we want to cover topics that you're passionate about. We see things in the media. We see things going on. Speaking of the media, I do want to say a very quick prayer to the students at the college in Oregon who just had another mass killing up there. This just really happened as we got on the air today. Say a prayer for them, for that young man. He's been attained. It looks like preliminaries. He injured 20, killed 10. Not a pretty scene up there. And so say your prayers for that college. You know, I see that happen, Johnny, and I just want to cry out, when's enough enough? You know, I don't know. I don't want to get into another topic, but I that happened right as I got on the air. And just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge these types of world events and that we take a moment and meditate or pray for healing for those individuals and those families that were affected by that.
I agree. And as difficult as it may feel or seem, pray for, you know, I think it was you said you the young man, the alleged young man that actually did it, he and his family as well, because they need the prayers as much as anyone else. So that's heartbreaking.
It is. So anything else, Johnny? I mean, wow, 30 minutes goes by fast, that's for sure.
I know, it blows by. No, I think in the end, I think it's been great. You know, we did the series on Pope Francis. I thought it was wonderful. Those have been archived. If you're sitting here more about Pope Francis' 15 Diseases of Leadership, I think that was just a wonderful topic that we were fed by the article by Gary Hamel in the Harvard Business Review. Some wonderful life lessons. We'll start shifting gears away from the Pope into some more real-time events and leadership challenges. And so, to spin off you, we'd love to hear from some of you out there about some real-life leadership and employee-led opportunities out there. But thanks for the kind birthday wishes, everyone. And, gosh, here's to a fantastic week ahead of us, huh?
You bet, folks. All right, folks. Remember, 347-677-1965. Send us your ideas. Send us your thoughts. We want this show to be about you and what you're actually needing to hear from us. And you know what, Johnny? You and I talked about this, and we may do this. Maybe on one call, and we'll make sure to do a lot of publicity around it, maybe we'll do some live coaching on people that may have issues that we can help them out with. All right. Have a great day. And happy birthday.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.